May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
How a family feud divided a town right down to the shoes they wore, this week on the Lutheran Hour.
The book of Genesis is no fairy tale. It depicts real people, people like us, with half-truths, crooked ways, and sore necks. But also the God who created us and bears with us because He loves us.
A misunderstanding between brothers sparks a feud, divides a town, and drives a billion-dollar business rivalry. Dr. Michael Ziegler tells the story of bent necks and a better brother today on the Lutheran Hour. Hi, this is Mark Eicher. Thanks for making the Lutheran Hour part of your week. This program is listener-supported. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. Now with a message titled, Bent Necks and a Better Brother, here is our speaker, Dr. Michael Ziegler.
There's a small town in Bavaria, Germany, where the people were known as bent necks. Their necks were bent because they spent so much time looking down to see which side you were on. The people in the town started taking sides shortly after World War II. They say the critical moment can be traced back to a night during the war in a bomb shelter. The shelter belonged to the Dossler family, an extended family consisting of mother and father Dossler with their two grown sons, Rudolf and Adolf, who went by Rudy and Addy, along with their wives and children. When the air raid siren sounded that night, Rudy and his family arrived first in the shelter. Now, the story goes that soon after, Addy and his wife came into the shelter. And when he saw Rudy and his family there already, Addy made some derogatory comment, something like, "Here are those dirty pigs again." Now, it seemed obvious to everyone that Addy was directing his dirty pigs comment toward the bombers overhead. It seemed obvious to everyone except Rudy, his brother, because Rudy was certain that Addy was speaking of him and his family, and he refused to see it any other way. From that night on, the lines were drawn. Up until then, Addy and Rudy had been business partners. They were shoemakers and somewhat famous. They had started the Dossler Brothers Sports Shoe Factory. They had supplied track and field shoes for many of the German athletes in the 1936 Olympics in Berlin. Addy even made shoes for the famous American athlete, Jesse Owens, who wore them during his gold medal performance. And so their business had boomed. But the brothers were different from each other. Addy was reserved and meticulous. Rudy was impulsive and boisterous. Addy was the craftsman who designed and made the shoes. Rudy was the front man who sold them. They could have been complementary partners, but neither could see things from the other's perspective. And they were both too short-sighted to see how their decisions would bend the necks of the people around them and the world around them. After the split, each brother formed his own rival shoe company, both based in the same small Bavarian town, but on opposite banks of the river. Now, Addy truly loved making shoes, but Rudy, I get the sense that his heart wasn't in it. He just started his business more out of spite for Addy. Turns out Addy named his shoe company with an abbreviated version of his name. Addy Dossler became Adidas, Adidas. And trying to copy his brother, Rudy called his company Ruda. And his buddies were like, "Ruda? You can't be serious. How about Puma? And so he went with it. And so began the sneaker wars. Adidas versus Puma, plus all the rest. Barbara Smith, in her book, Sneaker Wars, explains how the brothers' rivalry exploded into a billion-dollar global enmity, with each brother and their rival companies backstabbing, double-crossing, outmaneuvering the other to court famous athletes like Pele and Joe Namath, Kareem and Muhammad Ali, with free shoes and envelopes thick with cash. Not only did these battling brothers co-create the cutthroat, absurdly overpaid world of sport we live in today, they deeply divided almost everyone around them. When Adidas and Puma were most profitable, that Bavarian town that stood under their contentious shadow on opposite sides of the river had separate bakers, separate pubs, separate schools, depending on which company you supported. And that's how the town's residents became known as the Bent Necks. They were always looking down to see your shoes, to see which side you were on. And I wonder, how many of our conflicts in politics, business, church, are just old sibling rivalries writ large? Cain and Abel all over again. And maybe we stand under them with our necks bent, taking sides, failing to see things from our brother's or sister's perspective, like the story of the man standing on the riverbank. A woman on the opposite side of the bank calls out to him, "How do I get to the other side of the river?" And he says, "You are on the other side of the river." Too often we do get stuck in our point of view, don't we? Maybe we are like those Bavarian folks with their sore necks. And maybe our short-sightedness stems from some ancient rift in the human family. The Bible offers an account of this rift. Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel. It's all there in the book of Genesis, an account of how our necks got bent. Not just from looking down on our sisters and brothers, but from losing sight of God, our Creator, getting lost in the world, searching for some shelter. So God starts over with Abraham. God tells Abraham, "Look up, look to me. I will be your shield, your shelter." And Abraham does, for a moment. He sees outside of himself with the eyes of faith, with trust in God's promise. But life happened. Abraham's eyes fell down again. And sometimes all he could see was his own self-interest. But God stays with him. God stays true to his promise to be Abraham's shelter, to bless him, to be a shelter for everyone. The book of Genesis reveals a pattern and a plot. The pattern is this: we humans get in trouble whenever we take our eyes off God. And when we look to our own concerns instead, we see rivals, people trying to use us, cheat us, or trick us, or else people we can use or trick or cheat. And the plot turns on a blessing that will break this pattern, a blessing from God, which is also a mission from God, for God's people to be a blessing, to embody God's shelter, to heal the rift in the human family, to help us all unbend our necks and look up. This blessing passes from Abraham to his son Isaac, and then to Jacob. Now, it seems that it should have gone to Esau, Jacob's twin brother, since Esau technically came out first, although from the womb Jacob had Esau by the heel, which is how he got his name, you know. Jacob means heel grabber. Esau was first, but he sold his right as the firstborn to Jacob. And whether selling birthrights was something that people did, or Jacob just made it up on the spot, the fact that Esau did it shows how little he cared about their family's business of being a blessing, because Esau sold it for a bowl of soup. And he swore an oath to Jacob that he could have it. But when the day came, Isaac, their father, wanted to have it his way. Even though Esau's heart wasn't in it, Isaac tries to pass the blessing on to him nonetheless. And Isaac's motives don't come off looking so laudable. He seems to be motivated less by fairness or faith and more by food. Everything for Isaac seems to boil down to food. And you get the sense that he doesn't see at all what this blessing is about. And Rebekah, his wife, when she hears about this plan, she tries to rectify the situation to secure the blessing for Jacob instead. But she doesn't seem to understand the blessing any better than Isaac, because the blessing that God gives is a blessing to heal the family, and Rebekah's plan will tear her family apart, leaving Esau hell-bent on vengeance and Jacob sore with nightmares 20 years later. Listen to how it goes in these excerpts from Genesis chapter 27. Now it happened when Isaac was an old man, and his eyes were so dim, he was so short-sighted, he could no longer see. He called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." And Isaac said, "Look, I am an old man, and I do not know the day of my death, but now take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the open country and hunt some wild game for me, and make me some tasty food, such as I love, and bring it, and I will eat it so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah, his wife, was listening, and she spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Look, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, 'Bring me some game and make me some tasty food, and I will eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, you listen to me, and I will tell you what to do. Go to the flock and fetch me 2 young goats, good ones. And I will make some tasty food for your father, such as he loves, and you will bring it to your father, so that he may eat it and bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I have smooth skin. Suppose my father touches me, and I will appear to be mocking him, and I will bring down a curse on myself, not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse fall on me, my son. You listen to my voice. Now go, fetch me those goats." So he went, and he took them, and he brought them to his mother. And she made from them some tasty food, such as his father loves. And Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and she put them on her younger son, Jacob. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she put the tasty food and the bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father, and he said to him, "My father." And he answered, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I've done what you've told me. Now sit up, please, and eat some of my wild game so that you may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he answered, "Because the Lord your God has brought it to me." And Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near me so that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." So Jacob went to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he didn't recognize him because his hands were hairy like Esau's. But he said, "Are you really my son?"
Esau?
I am, he answered. Then Isaac said,
Bring it to me so that I may eat some of my son's game and bless you.
So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then Isaac said,
Come near and kiss me, my son.
So he came near and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said,
The smell of my son is like the smell of an open field. The Lord is blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and the richness of the earth, an abundance of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and let the sons of your mother bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you.
And it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and scarcely had Jacob gone out of the presence of his father Isaac, Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. He also made some tasty food and brought it to his father and said, Let my father arise and eat some of his son's game so that you may give me your blessing. And his father Isaac said to him,
Who are you?
He answered, I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled violently and said,
Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate all of it before you came and blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed.
As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father,
Bless me too, my father, bless me too. But he said, Oh, your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, Ah, is he not rightly called Jacob, heel grabber? He has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, Haven't you reserved any blessing for me, my father?
And Isaac answered and said to Esau,
Behold, I have made him lord over you, and have made all his relatives his servants, and I have sustained him with grain and wine. What then can I do for you, my son?
And Esau said to his father, Do you have but one blessing, my father? Bless me too. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself,
The days of mourning my father's death are approaching, and I will kill my brother Jacob.
And Rebekah heard, and she said to Jacob, Look, your brother Esau is comforting himself with the thought of killing you. So now, my son, you listen to my voice. Arise and flee to Laban, my brother, in Haran, and stay with him for some days until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you did to him. And I'll send for you. I'll bring you back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day? Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I loathe my life because of these Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of these Hittite women, like Esau did, how could I go on living? So Isaac sent Jacob away to Rebekah's brother for him to find a wife from his uncle's household. The book of Genesis is no fairy tale. It depicts real people. People like us, with half-truths, crooked ways, and sore necks. But also the God who created us and bears with us, because he loves us. Genesis sets the stage and the tone for everything to come in the rest of the Bible. how we came under this rift in the human family and what God promises to do about it. God promised a blessing to break the pattern. But no one in Genesis really gets it. Because this blessing isn't a way to get ahead or to get even. It's not just about having lots of food and wine and servants. It's not an idea or a theory or a philosophy. The blessing is a burden and a responsibility that none of them can carry. Only God can bear it. So God himself came. God's Son was born among them, for them, for us. He took the name Jesus to save us. That's what his name means, you know. Not heel grabber, Savior. Jesus' burden was to show us what our short-sighted rivalries will get us. Division, despair, separation from God, hell. That's what Jesus suffered on the cross for us. Our curse fell on him. And he carried the whole human family with him through it, hidden in the shelter of his body. The Lord of all became the servant of all. And he rose from the dead to be our brother, a better brother, one we can trust, who has the heart to lead us in this business, blessing the nations. It's said that Rudy and Addie Dassler rarely, if ever, talked again after their rift. But there was a chaplain, a Christian pastor, who 30 years later labored to bring them together when he was ministering to Rudy at his bedside. Rudy was on his back, restless, sore, dying. And the chaplain, in addition to offering Rudy forgiveness and new life in Jesus, the chaplain called up Addie, Rudy's brother. Now, I'm told that it didn't lead to any tearful embrace. Even though they lived in the same town, Addie didn't even bother to cross the river to embrace his brother on his deathbed. But he did convey his forgiveness over the phone. And whether any of this was heartfelt and brought true healing, we won't know until the dead rise up on the day of judgment. But what we do know now is what that chaplain knew. That servant of God who refused to fall in line and pick sides with all the other bent necks. Because he knew Jesus, our brother. Jesus lifts up our eyes, my eyes, your eyes, to see the person in front of you and beside you. Is she different than you? Does he see things differently? Yeah. Is he sometimes your rival? Is she your opponent, your enemy? Maybe so. But look up higher and see the brother who died for them and rose for them. Look again and see that under God, we're all on the same side. Just a world full of sinners with sore necks who need a shelter. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour. For free online resources, archived audio, and more, go to LutheranHour.org.
Prisoners turning blindness into sight. Sometimes one uplifting message can change your whole day. Daily devotions from Lutheran Hour Ministries bring you a word of encouragement and a message to strengthen you in your faith each day. These gospel-centered messages are delivered directly to your email when you subscribe at lhm.org/subscribe. Subscribe today, then share them with a friend. lhm.org/subscribe.
Taught by Jesus and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.
The Lutheran Hour is made possible through the support of faithful listeners like you. To learn how your prayers and gifts help extend the worldwide outreach of the Lutheran Hour, go to LutheranHour.org. And join us next week to hear about Jacob's Ladder, a ladder Jacob never climbed. Our theme music is by Peter Prochnow, Emily Rogers, and Alicia Enstrom. I'm Mark Eicher. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.
You've been listening to the Lutheran Hour, brought to you weekly by Trinity Lutheran Church at 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells. Worship Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Family Bible Study Hour is at 8:30 a.m. on Sundays.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, warm with highs in the upper 80s. Partly cloudy tonight, a low around 59. Still above normal for Monday, mostly sunny with a high around 87. 86 and sun for Tuesday. Wednesday, sunshine and a high around 84. Grandpa's barbecue sauce is perfect for grilling any time of the year. Pick it up at grandpasbbqshop.com.
Currently 83 degrees.
80s, 90s, and more.
Tainted love.
99.7 Max FM.
Yeah.
Maximum Hits, 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant showing us after 11:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. I hope everyone's having a good weekend so far. We got the Packers playing shortly. Unfortunately, not a great day for the Badgers yesterday. Here's Phil Bailey and Phil Collins on Max FM.
A new love, baby, a new love.
maximum hits, 99.7 Max FM. Don't forget, you can stream us online at max.fm. You can tell that smart device to play Max FM Baraboo, or better yet, download the free Civic Media app on your mobile device, tap on Max FM to take us with you wherever you go. Now you're going to want to have the Civic Media app on your mobile device ready to go. 7 a.m. on Monday morning is our statewide text to win contest. Your chance for green or gold. We'll have more details about that later. Here's a request for Steph, Jermaine Stewart on Max FM.
Not a word from your lips. Just took for granted that I'd want to skin it dip. A quick hit, that's your game. Well, I'm not a piece of meat. Stimulate my brain. Night is young, so are we. Let's get to know each other better, slow and easily. Take my hand, let's hit the floor.
Without you, I give up. Now I can't sing a love song like the way it's meant to be. Well, I guess I'm not that good anymore. But baby, that's just me, yeah.
pictures that you left behind, all just memories of a different life. Some that made us laugh, some that made us cry, one that made you have to say goodbye. What I'd give to run my fingers through your hair, touch your lips to hold you near. When you say your prayers, try to understand, I've made mistakes, I'm just a man. When he holds you close, when he pulls you near, when he says the words you've been needing to hear, I wish I was him, but those words are mine to say to you till the end of time. And I will love you, baby, always have it, forever and a day, always. If you told me to cry for you, I could. If you told me to die for you, I would. Take a look at my face, there's no price I won't pay to say this word to you. Thank you.
maximum hits, 99.7 Max FM. This is Dave Grant. I'm going to step on out. I'll be back after 4 o'clock. Coming up after noon will be Kid Kelly and Backtracks USA 80s. Our 50-minute news score continues with Sting on Max FM.